Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Betsy Turner and I am the pastor of Stockbridge Presbyterian Church. And it is my joy to welcome you to worship on this day, October 18th, our 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time and the 32nd Sunday of Gathering in this way. I want to remind you that next week on October 25th, we will gather for worship in a different way. We will be on Zoom at 11 o'clock in the morning on Sunday the 25th. You can join that Zoom using your computer or device or by calling in. And if you need help with that, I hope you will let us know so that you can join us. We are also working to have that service either recorded or streamed so that we can make it available afterwards for those who are not able to be there. But we do hope to see you at 11 on Sunday. The following Sunday, on November 1st, from 11 to 1, we will have an in-person church experience. This will be a drive-through giving event on our church campus. We will ask you to pull in at the rear of the Burke Street lot and pull through and around the pavilion where we will have masked volunteers there to take items that you are willing to donate. We will be collecting things for our Joseph's Pantry and we will get that pantry list out to you. School supplies for our partner schools who have gone back to in-person learning. Warm weather items for our coat closet. We have plenty of coats, but we're looking for long sleeve shirts, mittens, gloves, and other warm weather, warm items for the cold weather. We ask that you wear a mask and stay in your vehicle, but we're looking forward to a first venture into something in person as we continue to mitigate the risk and try to keep each other safe. Thankful for this technology that allows us to be together in worship today. Let us begin our worship then with a song of praise. Earth and all stars, loud rushing planets, sing to the Lord a new song. Hail wind and rain, loud blowing snow, storms sing to the Lord a new song. God has done marvelous things. We will sing praises with a new song. Steel and machines, loud pounding hammers, sing to the Lord a new song. Limestone and beams, loud building workers, sing to the Lord a new song. God has done marvelous things. We will sing praises with a new song. Classrooms and labs, loud boiling test tubes, sing to the Lord a new song. Athlete and band, loud cheering people, sing to the Lord a new song. God has done marvelous things. We will sing praises with a new song. Knowledge and truth, loud sounding wisdom, sing to the Lord a new song. Daughter and son, loud praying people, sing to the Lord a new song. God has done marvelous things. We will sing praises with a new song.
Would you pray with me? Holy God, in the midst of a lot of chaos and confusion, much stress and anxiety, we come to worship you. Help us to quiet other voices in these moments so that we might hear you speaking to us. Bind us together across the distance that separates through the gift of technology and by the power of your Holy Spirit, and grant your peace to our frantic minds, our weary bodies, and our restless spirits. Come, Spirit, come and be with us. Amen. Now we have a word for our kids from Aaron Roberts.
How's everybody doing? Please answer out loud because I can't hear you. That's not true. I can't hear you and I can't see you right now either. And that's pretty terrible. We're trying to get back to a situation where we can see each other in person and we will be there eventually, but I can't tell you when. And we're going to have patience. We're going to have to be safe so that we can do it just as soon as possible. So just keep working towards that goal because we in the church, we're working towards that goal too. In the meantime, things get a little strange. Things get very strange. Things get a little scary. Talk to God. Psalm 56:3 tells us, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you." So in every situation, when things are uneasy with you, just talk to God. Take the time, really talk to him, and it'll help things out. He'll find a way to set you at ease. In the meantime, you've got your parents, you've got each other, and you've got other people in the church to talk to as well. So, you know, we're all friends, we all love each other, so we're all going to be here for each other too. Now, I'm going to take us out with a prayer, so please pray with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for often working in small, hidden, and seemingly insignificant ways. Help me to trust you're at work, even when I can't see you. Grant me the grace to remain faithful. Amen. So remember, God is there for you, and Jesus is there for you. So just talk to them both. Things are going to be better. I hope to see you all soon. Bye.
Our scripture this week is from Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with the truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What a word to have before us this week in this season. A story of heated political debate, a conversation about taxes and governance, a confrontation between opposing factions around leadership and law and loyalty, a moment crackling with political tension marked by plotting and trickery full of false flattery and hateful hypocrisy. Here in the midst of a momentous election in our own country, I can hardly think of a more fitting text for us, or a more challenging one. Render to the emperor the things that belong to the emperor, and render to God the things that belong to God. This is Jesus' response to a tricky question: is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? The Pharisees and the Herodians are unlikely bedfellows, united only by their mutual desire to see Jesus removed from the scene. And so they've teamed up in this moment to trick Jesus, and they think they've got him in a catch-22. On the one hand, the Pharisees hoped that Jesus would support paying taxes to Caesar so that the Jewish people would review him as a Roman sympathizer, a traitor to the Jewish cause. The Herodians, on the other hand, hoped Jesus would oppose paying the tax to Caesar so that they, supporters of Herod, the governor, and by extension, supporters of the empire, could accuse him of treason and sedition against Rome, against the government. No matter which way Jesus answered, it seemed that they had him trapped. But Jesus sidesteps the question, catches his opponents off guard, and gives an answer they had not expected. They want him to choose either or. But in his typical expansive way, Jesus offers a both and. Render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and render to God what is God's. There are two traditional paths of interpretation for this story. The first is to take Jesus' comments roughly at face value, that this really is about taxation, that Jesus is saying pay your taxes, but also make an offering. Pay your tithe to God. You can do both of those things. There's dual loyalty, double allegiance, church and state. And we have obligations, it seems Jesus says, to both. Too often, though, the addendum to that particular interpretation is sort of the implied or spoken, and neither the twain shall meet. Render to Caesar, render to God. But there's this distortion where we imagine that those have nothing to do with each other, a misinterpretation that Jesus is saying our involvement in church and state, faith and civic life are strictly separate, that they have nothing to do with each other. But that's a distortion of Jesus' words and his life and his work and his politics. Yes, Jesus was political. That may make you uncomfortable to hear, but it's true. Politics is just a word that is about how we live together, the way we order our society, and how we use and share resources and power. And these are the very things that Jesus spoke about and seems to have cared about the most. The IRS does not allow the church to be partisan, such as endorsing a particular candidate, but neither does Jesus allow us to be non-political, disengaged from the world as it is, and from these crucial conversations and decisions about society and resources and money and people. Jesus is political, and we must be too. It's political, you see, to preach the last shall be first and the first shall be last, because that's overturning the power structures of the world. It's political to spend your time with outcasts and foreigners and the powerless. It's political to critique institutions and exploitation and empire, all of which Jesus did vocally. Jesus' life was political, which is why his death was political. He died as a prisoner of the empire, executed by the state for the crime of sedition, under the supervision of the governor Pilate and the watchful eye of the Roman military. And he died in this political way precisely because he lived in a political way, engaged with the issues of the day, confronting the powers that be, and because his vision of a new kingdom. And notice that's a political term too, kingdom. That vision of a new kingdom was a challenge to the political system and to the status quo. So when Jesus says render to Caesar and render to God, he is making a political statement. Not a partisan one, but a political statement. By answering this question, holding up that coin of the empire right there in the temple grounds, by confronting the political and religious leaders who have joined forces in order to challenge him, he's highlighting how the sacred and the secular, the faith and the rest of our life, including our political life, are all intimately connected and entwined. It's both and. Which brings us to the second kind of line of interpretation on this story. Picture Jesus there with me for a minute. They ask, should we pay taxes? Is it lawful to pay taxes? And he asks for a coin. Incidentally, the Pharisees' main concern about taxes had to do with these coins. The coin bore an image of Caesar and an inscription proclaiming Caesar to be divine. And so the Pharisees deemed these coins to be idolatrous, not to be used and certainly not to be carried, but nonetheless, when they are asked, somebody has a coin at the ready to give to Jesus. But anyway, someone hands him a coin and he looks at that tiny coin, the tiny little picture on it, and he asks, whose image is that? And they answer, Caesar's, of course. And then I picture Jesus pausing, looking up from that tiny coin to the vastness of the blue sky and the mountains off in the distance and the palm trees overhead and the birds circling in the air. Maybe there's a street or a marketplace nearby, and so he gestures to baskets of dates and apples and pomegranates and piles of olives and leafy greens, baskets overflowing with golden grains, large jugs of oil. He gestures at a mother nursing her child and two men playing checkers together and an old woman kneading dough. He tousles the hair of a child who runs by. And then he looks in the eyes of each person in that circle, each of his accusers, his friends, his disciples, all of the crowd gathered there. And then he takes that tiny coin and he says, render to Caesar that which is Caesar's. And then gesturing around at everything and everyone and the vastness and beauty and intricacy of the whole creation, says, render to God what belongs to God. See, I think Jesus has his tongue firmly planted in his cheek when he makes this statement. Sure, this little coin may have the emperor's image on it, and that's fine. But the whole creation bears the mark of the Creator. And every human being bears the image of God. Everything belongs to God. And so you can render this little coin to Caesar, but do not get it twisted. Caesar is not God. You are not God either. Power is not God. Political party is not God. We don't worship a platform or a candidate. You can have dual loyalty, double allegiance, but it's never an equal loyalty. God comes first, before Caesar and before yourself. You can pledge your allegiance to the flag, but that pledge is never above your allegiance to God. Your render to Caesar is always shaped by that render to God part of the command. And that means, to bring it back to our current political season, this election, all of that, I think, means that you and I should and can and must participate in politics. You should vote this election season and contact your legislators and advocate for and against laws and political movements you feel passionate about. And that passion and that participation should be shaped not by self-interest or by slavish loyalty to a particular political party, that R or D next to someone's name, or what the pundits on TV tell us to think and believe. Our politics, our participation, our passion about the way our world is going to be ordered should be shaped by and subject to our faith, the commands that come from God, namely, to recognize and honor the image of God in each person, and to love your neighbor in accordance with Christ's command. The writer Nish Wiseth has said, politics is the single largest systemic tool we have at our disposal with which we can love our neighbor. Simply put, politics for the Christian should be institutional neighborliness. So that's what we're about when we participate in politics, when we render to Caesar, when we step into that voting booth or fill out that absentee or mail-in ballot. That's how we participate in the political process, and that's how you should decide who and what to vote for, what laws and freedoms you should advocate for. It ought to be the ones that Jesus advocated for. You ought to be in the business of rendering to God, even as you render to Caesar. And that means that you will stand on the side of allowing every voice to be heard, and every life to have dignity, and every person to have access to what they need to survive and to thrive, and for every child of God to be loved and welcomed and safe, as it will be in God's kingdom. And may it be so among us as well. Amen. Will you sing with me? Our time of offering is certainly not the only way that we render to God, but it is a start. The coins that we offer to Christ's church and through the church to our neighbors are a way of showing gratitude and our recognition of God's grace in our lives and in the world. But more than that, they represent our deep commitment to God. The one that we make with our hearts and with every aspect of our lives, that promise to live in faithfulness to the way of Jesus Christ. So may you be blessed this day as you give to Stockbridge Presbyterian, as you dedicate your life to God's calling, and as we sing together our words of dedication using the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, you never abandon us. Your faithfulness to the covenant you make with your people is unwavering. You walk with us. You go before us. You envelop us with your goodness and with your grace. And we are grateful. Knowing all too well that today's problems are enough for today, we entrust to your compassionate care all the burdens we can no longer carry, the worries we can no longer bear. Take from us the anxieties that threaten to overtake us, the grief of cumulative losses, the fear for our well-being and that of those we love, the shame of deeds we cannot undo, and the doubts that prevent us from moving forward. All of this we hand over now to you, believing and trusting that your Spirit intercedes for us and translates our sighs, which are too deep for words. We lift up to you now the ones in particular need of your care, the sick and the hurt and those who care for them, the dying and those who grieve, especially those who do so alone, the hungry, the poor, and those who are most vulnerable, the long oppressed and those still waiting for justice, the anxious and those who feel most alone. And hear us now as we name aloud or hold in silence our specific concerns and the particular ways we need your grace. Hear our prayers, O merciful one. Help us to feel your close presence with every breath and each heartbeat. Inspire us to render to you all that belongs to you, our hearts, our lives, our priorities, our love, our resources, our time, our energy, and even our politics. We do pray for wisdom and integrity in our current election in our country. We pray that a spirit of peace and unity would overcome the partisanship and division that is so prevalent among us in these difficult days. God, may our awareness of your nearness empower us to do justice and love kindness and keep walking with you, so that others will know your love through our witness. Make of us a grateful, joy-filled people, a light to which others are drawn. We pray this and all things in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen.
I charge you now, my friends, as I always do, to go from this time of worship to love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Be faithful. Be gracious and kind, generous and compassionate. Be radical and courageous in the way of Jesus Christ. And carry that faithfulness into every corner, every aspect, every arena of your life, rendering to God what belongs to God. And as you go, know and trust and believe that you do not ever go alone. For God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is with us now and will abide with us forever. Knowing this, my friends, be at peace. Amen.